Blog Talk Radio.
And my name is Jean-Marc Paris. If you've been living in a bubble, you may be amazed about some things that are going on in this universe, in this Western Hemisphere. Now, what we have here is a failure to communicate. And I'm talking in regards to this so-called corrupt government in this Western Hemisphere. You see, in this corrupt government, you have a so-called President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris, whom for all intents and purposes have won the election. You have the most vilest man in this Western Hemisphere by the name of Donald J. Trump and his accolades as if they're drinking the Kool-Aid. 18 attorney generals led by Texas, basically universal white race supremacists, have made the claim for states they didn't do it right because they didn't do what we said. They didn't do what we do. So apparently they hadn't did it right. Although they have their own attorney generals, their own infrastructures and systems, Texas says we know what's best for everybody. And that's which is, if you don't know, universal white race supremacy. So they have brought a suit up to the Supreme Court and this corrupt government and saying, no, they ain't won. Well, why they ain't win? Because we said so. Okay. Well, they've been doing it, so they figure they can continue doing it. And then you have 100 plus congressmen, United States Congress people in this corrupt government, whom are going along with the force. They're saying, yeah, that's right. Well, what did Pennsylvania and Michigan and Georgia and so on, what did they do wrong? They didn't do what we do. That's what they're wrong at. In this corrupt government. And that's what you're dependent upon. Truly, really? You looking for answers from these people? This government in this Western Hemisphere, whom has come a laughing stock among other nations? Come on now. You better look for more leadership. You better look not for universal white race supremacy. You better look for supreme leadership. So they often duplicate and imitate, but they're not supreme. Yes, they are our captors, but they're not supreme. You know, people often tell me, Yom Suf, things are getting better. It's getting better. We're progressing. Progress ain't nothing but another word. Progression. What does that mean? Unless it's done, there ain't no progression. Not a turtle pace to change. If they really wanted it to change, it would be changed. Now, wouldn't it? Not a progression, turtle pace. Yeah, we used to be, when I grew up, Cartrell and I grew up, and Jerry and Abigail, when we grew up, we were special to them. Yeah. We were special. They had doors for us to go to in the back for dogs and Negroes. Although things have changed, they let us go through the front doors now. That's about it. And that's your leadership. That's what you're looking to solve all your problems. This corrupt government with his corrupt members who've been stuffing the ballot since day one. And now they're complaining. You know, I once learned when I was a young fellow, young whippersnapper, the person that steals all the time, they can't stand to be stolen from. They have screamed the loudest, just like Texas and the other 17 complainers in this corrupt government. Yes, you need devotion. You need supreme leadership. But you don't need it from universal white race supremacists. You don't need it from a corrupt government who become a laughing stock among nations, a byword, just like we are. And sadly to say, my brothers and sisters, my fellow students, this is the sad part of it. See, we don't have time for anything. We don't have time for this. We don't have time for that. But we always got time to do something wrong. We always got time to hate each other. We always got time to kill each other. We always got time to mistreat each other. We always got time to abuse each other. But we don't have time to do anything right. We don't have time to study the Most High. Who can solve our problems? Oh, man, come on, you too serious. Well, life feels serious, isn't it? Especially when you kill one another. You hate one another. You hate anything that remotely looks like you. And you're willing to kill it and write a song about it. Make $1 million. And if that ain't serious, I don't know what is. Yes, you need devotion. But what you really need, you need to know who you should be devoted to. Not any corrupt government. But you need to be devoted to your maker, your almighty, your creator. That's why we do these studies. Okay? So let us get started. Let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City, Cartrell. I'm pretty sure he has some commentary on what I've just spoke about. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, my brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. Shalom, brother Yom Suf Harim. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend.
Hey, man, you said a mouthful. I don't know how I can follow that up. But one thing for sure is that we the only thing creation on this planet Earth that works against one another. Mm-hmm. And we think we're smarter than insects or animals, but elephants don't kill each other, do they?
No.
Hippos don't kill each other on the scale that we kill each other, do they?
No.
So we the only species on Earth, and we're supposed to be the highest species, and in our hoods we're killing each other, and we all in the same boat.
Exactly.
But the earth is full of violence. The earth is full of wickedness. People doing their own thing. Nobody following protocol or the rules of Yah, which is why he brought judgment on the earth in the first place in the time of Noah. He had to destroy everybody and everything that was in it because of the wickedness of man. And we didn't learn our lesson from that. So we're doomed to suffer the same judgment if we don't change. Time is running out. So we see Donald Trump, and the Most High said that we're in the fourth kingdom, and the fourth kingdom, what sets that kingdom apart is that iron and clay don't mix.
Mm-hmm.
We read that in the book of Daniel when he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and Nebuchadnezzar was serious. He's like, yo, you can't tell me my dream or the interpretation of it. I'm killing you and your family today.
Right.
And like Daniel was like, hold up. You know, give us a little time. We're going to get the answer for you, O great king. And the Most High gave Daniel the vision of the dream and the interpretation of it. And what he saw was this kingdom that we're living in now, this fourth kingdom, iron and clay, that
mm-hmm.
don't mix. That's going to fall apart. And we see it falling apart. But our trust got to be in Yah, because the Most High foretold this moment in time way back in ancient times.
Exactly. Iron and clay, it doesn't mix.
So they don't even stand up on their own principles. You talk about Donald Trump and the Republican Party. They lost. Space, you know, the loss that you took. And you're going to try to say that the election was corrupt. What about all the Republican senators that got reelected? Was the system corrupt for them?
They singled him out. They singled out the legend in his own mind out. So that's what he's saying. They singled him out for persecution. Okay.
But you know that America was built on being a rebellious nation. So we're dealing
right.
with a rebellious people. They rebelled
mm-hmm.
against the King of England, King George. I don't know if he was the first, second, or third, but they
right.
rebelled against one of them damn kings. And they say, like,
mm-hmm.
nah, we ain't sending, you know, your produce back to you. On these 13 colonies. We taking these colonies over, my man, and we're not going to have no kings. We're going to have a democracy where the people rule. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so we see how the people is ruling, right? Or we think the people is ruling. But people are rebellious and corrupt, man.
Exactly. Yeah, like you said, Katya, they had the fanatics came, the religious fanatics. They had the thieves, con men, and whores come. And they basically was running this country. The descendants of them.
And they get props to to people who epitomize that. And Donald Trump is the epitome of that.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a bull in a china shop. So, talking about getting back to normal. The angel of death is out there, and he's taking lives, and they don't give a damn about the people that are supposed to be in America.
Yeah, and they ain't trying to send them a stimulus package, are they, Cartrell?
At the worst time of the year. We about to go into the heart of winter.
Mm-hmm.
People ain't got no jobs, no money, no food for their family. Can't send their yaladim, their children, to school.
Mm-hmm.
And you're real vulnerable. Ain't talking about this vaccine. This vaccine got DNA that's going to change your DNA. This vaccine got stuff in it that you don't want to put in your body.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you're afraid of these people, you're going to take that vaccine.
Exactly. But if you're afraid of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, I don't think you will. As I'm not going to.
Giuliani is like, what, in his 70s, he caught it, and they gave him some kind of medication, he back on his feet again.
Running
sure
his mouth.
Sure they didn't give him the vaccine.
No, they gave him that plasma stuff. It's a plasma for people that's been affected. And so what they do, they take it and they do something with it. And the plasma, some form of plasma treatment that helps give you some stamina against to. I mean, it doesn't say you don't have it, but it helps ward off and fight it. It's those that have already had it, and they got these antibodies in it. And so they take the blood of people and take the antibodies out and infuse it in your body. And so that don't mean you don't have it. It's just these antibodies, with your antibodies, help give you an additional boost to fight it off.
So we used to watch the movie Frankenstein when we was growing up, right? Mad scientist in the laboratory, he pulling body parts together to try to recreate life.
Right.
No, it's actually real-life Frankensteinism that's going on. You taking the DNA, you taking the stem cells from aborted babies and putting them in the vaccine?
The AstraZeneca one. That's one I know for a fact. I don't know what the other has in it, but I know that AstraZeneca one, it has a 70% rating of curability as the dead fetus, of a white Caucasian lung tissue. I've read it. I didn't hear it. I read the details about it.
And they got it right on the box. And they don't expect people to look it up to find what it is.
They study. All they got to do is study, just like we study on this show. You got to study everything else. You can't take it. You can't take people's word for anything now, Katya. That's why Mosiah said, trust no man. Well, you got to depend on me. You can't trust no man, woman, child, anyone else for that matter. And long as they're leaning to their own understanding, as long as they're going by what somebody else said, or going by this and that and the other. But if they're not immersed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, those are the people you don't want to put too much confidence and trust in. So I'm not surprised the outcome, Cartrell and fellow students, of what's going on in these United States of America, this Western Hemisphere, because as Cartrell alluded to, they come from the gene pool of the people that came here. The people that came here were thieves, murderers, prostitutes, tax evaders, religious fanatics, and so
cutthroats.
Yeah, cutthroats, and you know that's who they is. Just like we are who we are. And that's why some of us do what we do on the worst case scenario to one another, then because it's just in the DNA. If you don't have Yah, it's hard to change DNA. It's impossible to change DNA. All right, fellow students, let's get started. Cartrell, thank you, brother. Turn to chapter 3. Okay. Turn to chapter 33 of Shemot. We got about 7 more chapters of this. It's going to be, after tonight, it's going to be 5 more chapters in Shemot. And we're moving on to, what's that name, Cartrell?
Y-Yik-Ra.
Y-Yik-Rock. They call it Leviticus. Ra. Right. Okay. All right. If y'all got that. Okay, may the Most High bless you by the study, not no reading. I took that word out of there because reading, anybody can read a book, but it takes study. The intense study, archaeology, findings. And then once you've done that, you must apply these things to your lives. And that's still going on about the fabrication of the Ark of the Covenant, the tent, the utensils, and whatnot. And that's still going on. I know it may sound redundant, but repetitiveness is good for you. It's not bad for you. So stick with it, okay? Then the Elohim said to Moses, I want you to set out from here. You and the people that you have brought up from the land of Mizraim to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your offspring will I give it. I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. But I would not go in your midst, since you are a stiff-necked people. Lest I destroy you on the way. I ain't going to be there with you. But I'm going to send somebody with you. When the people heard this harsh word, they went into mourning. And none put on his fine. They didn't put on the fine rags. And the Elohim said to Moses, say to the Israelites people, you are a stiff-necked people. If I were to go in your midst for one moment, if I were to be around for y'all for one moment, I would destroy you because I can't stand you. Then leave off your fineries. Well, don't put on no fine clothes. You ain't got nothing to party about like we used to. We like to party about everything. So leave off your fineries, and I will consider what to do with you. And let me ponder upon the matter. Now, don't put on you. Y'all used to putting on fine clothes. No, y'all don't need to be putting on no clothes. Y'all need to stay just as you are. So the Israelites remained stripped of the finery from Mount Horeb on. They didn't put on their fine clothes no more. They didn't party like it was 1999. Now Moses would take the tent and pitch it outside the camp. At first, remember, it was pitched inside the camp. But the Most High said, take the tent and pitch it outside the camp at some distance from the camp. It was called the tent of meeting. And whoever sought the Elohim would go out to the tent of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, that was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise and stand in respect, each at the entrance of his tent when Moses went out to that tent. And they would gaze after Moses until he entered the tent of the tabernacle. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent while he spoke with Moses. They could see these things literally, but still had little or no effect on some of them. Even though they stood up in solidarity, there was always this element among us, always this element who hated each other, who hated the Most High, not only stiff-necked and stubborn, but always lean to their own understanding. But they would give some semblance of respect to the Most High, of respect to Moses. But they were seeing these things live in living color, what was going on. And as I said, it had little or no effect on some of them. Not all of them, some of them. And the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent while he spoke with Moses. When all the people saw the pillar of cloud posed at the entrance of the tent of the tabernacle, all the people would rise and bow low in respect, each at the entrance of his tent. Then the Elohim would speak to Moses face to face, as one man speak to another. That's how much respect and love he had for Moses, because Moses was a humble brother. Moses followed instructions. Moses didn't lean to his understanding. Moses wasn't self-righteous. Moses didn't look for titles. Moses didn't look for credentials. The only thing Moses looked for was the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as you should be looking for. And he would then return to the camp. But his attendant, Joshua was there. Joshua was being mentored by Moses. Like a lot of our youth should be mentored by elders of the Most High. Joshua, son of Nun, a youth, would not stir out of the tent. Moses said to the Elohim, "See, you said to me, lead this people forward. But you have not made known to me whom you would send with me. Further, you have said, I have singled you out by name. And you have indeed gained me favor, Most High. Now, if I have truly gained your favor, pray let me know your ways, that I may know you seeking Most High and continue in your favor. Let me know you. Let me know everything about you so I could continue seeking you. But consider, too, that this nation, Most High, I know how you're feeling about it right now, but this nation is your people." And he said, "I will go and lead and will lighten your burden." And he said to him, "Unless you go in and lead and do not make us leave this place." He said, "Unless Most High, you go and lead, don't make us leave this place. We ain't going to make it without you. I'm going to lead, but I can't leave without you, Most High. Unless you go in and lead, Most High, don't make us leave because it ain't going to work for us. For how shall it be known that your people have gained your favor unless you go with us, so that we may be distinguished, your people and I, from every people on the face of the universe? We should be distinguished, brothers and sisters, from every people on this universe. Not by the clothes we wear, not by our fanneries, not by our credentials, not by our titles, but by following Yah. We shouldn't want to be like nobody else. We shouldn't want to be like the Australians, the Americans, the Canadians, whatever nation. We should be distinguished by our actions in accordance to the Most High. And the Elohim said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you asked me." Okay. "I will do this thing that you asked me, because you have truly gained my favor, Moses. I've singled you out by name, Moses." And he said, "Let me behold your presence. That's all I want. Let me behold your presence." And he answered, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, Moses. I will proclaim before your name, you the name of Yah, and the grace that I granted and the compassion that I showed." But he said, "You cannot see my face, Moses, for man may not see me and live." You can't see me. You can't look upon me, Moses. I know you want to see my presence, and I want to show you my face. But as a human being, you can't look at me and live. And the Elohim said, "See, there's a place near me. I'm going to let you see a part of me. And here's how I want you to see me. I want you to see a reflection of me. I want you to station yourself on the rock. And as my presence passed by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock and shear you with my hand until I pass by. You won't see my face. You'll see me, the back of me in passing. And then I will take my hand away and you will see my back. But my face must not be seen. Because if you see me, Moses, you got to go. And that's how much I love you. I can't have you dead." How many of us wants to see the presence of the Most High? How many of us truly wants to follow the Most High? How many of us truly knows, I can't make a move without you, Most High? I can lead them, but it ain't going to be up to no good. It ain't going to work for our benefit. As you say, you want me to leave them, yeah? But if you don't go with us, it's not going to avail us anything. How many brothers and sisters know this? To seek favor of the Most High. That you got to let the Most High be in your midst, in your presence, and lead. Because otherwise, any endeavor that you undertake ain't going to work for you. It's going to work entirely against you. How many brothers and sisters understand this concept? Contrail, what say you, my brother and friend? I guess Contrail may have walked from the mic.
I said it's chapter. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Shatta has a lot of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in it.
Exactly.
What you just left off with is that even Moses, who the Most High called his friend, could not look upon the face of Elohim, upon the Most High, right? So why would God make himself a man born of a woman so that people could see his face? And he's telling you in this chapter that no man could see his face and live. And Moses was one of the closest human beings that ever, you know, really communicated as close as he did to the Most High. Right?
Exactly.
So Moses in this chapter is making a plea that the Most High doesn't abandon us because of our ways. Most High said, I'm going to send an angel to lead y'all, you know, to where y'all supposed to go, because if I stay with y'all, I might kill y'all. That's the way y'all act.
What's that, Kajal? I stay with y'all, I might kill y'all.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you. That's what he said. Listen,
yeah,
he said, for Yahweh said to Moses, tell the Israelites, you stiff-necked people, if I were to go with you, even for a moment, I might destroy you.
I might kill y'all. I might kill you.
Moses like, wait a minute, y'all. But y'all like, no. Tell your people to take up their garments and I will decide what I will do with you. So we had to strip down. And Moses, after he seen us strip down, he's like, now I got to decide what I'm going to do with y'all, because y'all still hard and stiff necked. But we, at least we listened. So the Israelites stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb, because that's what y'all was speaking to us, right?
Now
set it
again.
So there's mad drama going on here.
Oh yeah.
That tent was supposed to be in the midst of us, but Yah was so infuriated, so furious with us, he took the tent that they built and put it far away from them, when it was supposed to be right in the midst of them.
Yeah, well, Cartrell, he said they're a hot mess. I don't even want to be. I may put a hurt on them. Well, I know it. They're a hot mess.
So, Moses, our great brother, the prophet Moses, he appealed to the mercy of Yah. Moses says to Most High, you've been telling me, lead this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. Because in the beginning, I was asking you not to send me, send somebody else.
Right.
Now you're trying to throw them on me. I'm throwing them back at you.
Exactly. I can't do nothing
right?
with them. I can't do nothing with them.
And if you really love me and you really want me on this mission, you got to show me to with me, because I'm not going nowhere. You can't send one of your angels and I'm walking with him. No, you told me you was going to be with me. So this is where we going from here, Yah. This is Moses talking to Yah.
Yeah, I'm your friend. I'm your friend.
Right.
But
right.
Look here, I don't want a secondary. I need you.
That's right. I don't need your angel. I don't need Mikael, Gabriel, Audio, Raphael. No, 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 no. You trying to separate yourself. I need you to walk with me.
I need
you
to
gotta,
go to the head honcho.
You got to prove
right.
Now you're going to walk with me. Because
right.
This is the way it says. This is Yah's reply to Moses.
Uh-huh.
He said, okay, Moses, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. So that's guaranteed. Once Moses said it, that's guaranteed. He ain't going to back up his promise. Then Moses
right.
said to him, okay, you're going to do that? Watch. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? And he's
mm-hmm.
right. Don't
exactly.
send no angel. We don't need no angel. We need you, yeah? And all that you've been doing up until this time. Forget about with the people. They being hard-headed, stiff-necked. I myself cannot go on without you.
Right.
What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? Yeah, because all these other people, they worship false gods. And here it is. You are supposed to be leading us. Then Yah's reply to Moses is like, I will do everything you have asked because
exactly.
I am pleased with you and know you by name. How beautiful
exactly.
is that? That Moses
That's
can make that appeal and that Mosiah would say, okay, what you're saying is right. I'm going to do
that
everything that you say.
That is a gorgeous relationship. That is a wonderful, healthy relationship.
But look how strong Moses is in his relationship with Yah.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't let him off the hook. He's like,
no,
oh, okay. Now show me your glory. I want to
mm-hmm.
see if you're going to be true to what
see.
You just said.
Mm-hmm.
So Yah said to Moses, this ain't the same conversation that Job was having with Yah, is it?
No.
Because the Most High is responding to Moshe way better than he responds to Job, right? Like, who are you to question me, Job? Here it is, Moses
what?
Questioning Yah, and Yah is answering Moses because he knew the spirit of Moses. How beautiful
right.
is that?
That's beautiful. A wonderful
this
relationship.
This is what Yah replies to Moses. I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, in front of Moses, and I will proclaim my name, Yah, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, because we know some of these Negroes got to go. And I have compassion on him. Why compassion? But he said, you cannot see my face, Moses. So how many people saw Jesus' face?
Is there a whole bunch of them?
You, Moses, can't see my face. So what? He said, for no one, how many?
No one.
May see me and live. So if you see the face of God, you're about to die.
Exactly.
How about that? You want to see God's face? All right. Go ahead with yourself. Even Moses couldn't look on Yah's face. And Yah
right.
said, there's a place near me where you can stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I'll put you in a cliff in the rock to cover you with my hand. So he had to shield him from even seeing him. Then I will
right.
move my hand, and then you will see my back, but not my face, because
mm-hmm.
it must not be seen. Even Moses couldn't see the face of the Most High God.
Exactly. All right. Thank you, Cadrell. That was right on point. They needed that. Well, turn to chapter 34, and we continue on in our studies. And the Elohim said to Moses, I want you to carve two tablets of stone like the first ones you've already made. I will scribe upon the tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you shattered. Be ready by morning. And in the morning, come up to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on top of the mountain. No one else shall come up with you, and no one else shall be seen anywhere on the mountain, neither shall the flocks and the herds graze at the floor of this mountain. So Moses carved two tablets of stone like the first, and early in the morning, he went up to Mount Sinai, as the Elohim had commanded him, taking the two stone tablets with him. And the Elohim came down in a cloud. He stood with him there and proclaimed the name of Yah. The Elohim passed before him and proclaimed, the Elohim, Yah, a compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in kindness and faithfulness, extending kindness to the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he does not remit all punishment, but visit the iniquity of the parent upon the children and the children's children, upon the third and fourth generations. Moses hastened to bow low to the ground in homage and said, "If I have gained your favor, O Elohim, pray, let the Elohim go in our midst, even though I know this is a stiff-necked people. Pardon our iniquity, our sin, and take us for your own."
So I got to stop you here, because we already read the ceremony where Aaron and his sons put their hands on the head of the sacrifices in order to get the iniquity and the guilt offering of our people. Here it is, Moses pretty much is sacrificing himself like an offering so that Yah would be merciful, being that we acted stiff-neckedly and refused to follow Yah's plan for us.
Exactly. And he said, "I hereby make a covenant before all your people. I will work wonders as have never been wrought on all the earth in any nation. And all the people who are with you shall see how awesome are the Elohim's deeds which I will perform for you. Mark well that what I command you this day, I drive out before you the Amorites, Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Beware of making a covenant with the inhabitants of the land against which you are advanced. Don't make no covenant with them. Why? Lest they become a snare in your midst. No, you must tear down their altars, smash their pillars, cut down their sacred posts, for you must not worship any other god, because the Elohim, whose name is impassioned, is an impassioned Elohim. You must not make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, for they will lust after their gods and sacrifice to their gods and invite you, and you will eat of their sacrifices. And when you take wives from among their daughters for your sons, and your daughters will lust after their gods and will cause your sons to lust after their gods, if you follow their women, you're going to follow their gods. You shall not make molten gods for yourselves. You shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread, eating unleavened bread for 7 days, as I have commanded you, at the set time of the month of Abib. For the month of Abib, you went forth from Mizraim. Every first issue of womb, your firstborn of everything, is mine. From all your livestock, that drop a male as firstling, whether cattle or sheep. But the firstling of an ass, you shall redeem with a sheep. If you do not redeem it, you must break its neck. You must redeem every firstborn among your sons. None shall appear before me empty-handed. 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall cease from labor. You shall cease from labor even at plowing time and harvest time. I don't care what time it is. You shall observe the feast of weeks of the first fruits of the week harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the turn of the year. 3 times a year, all your males shall appear before the sovereign Elohim, Yah, of Israel. I will drive out nations from your path and enlarge your territory. No one, if you do what I said, will covet your land when you go up to appear before the Elohim, Yah, 3 times a year. While you're up visiting me, If you do what I said, nobody gonna come against your land while you're up here doing what you're supposed to be doing. You should not offer the blood of my sacrifice with anything leavened. And the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover should not be left lying until morning. The choice fruits of your soil should bring to the house of the Elohim your Yah. You should bring to the house. You should not boil a kid, a goat, in his mother's milk. The Elohim said to Moses, write down these commandments. For in accordance with these commandments, I will make a covenant with you in Israel. And he was there with the Elohim 40 days and 40, an additional 40 days and 40 nights. He ate no bread, drank no water, and he wrote down on the tablets the terms of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As Moses came down from the mountain bearing the two tablets of pack, Moses was not aware that the skin of his face was radiant since he had spoken with the Elohim. Aaron and the Israelites saw the skin of Moses' face was radiant, and they shrank back from coming near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the chieftains in the assembly returned to him, and Moses spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he instructed them concerning all that the Elohim had imparted to him on Mount Sinai. And Moses had finished speaking with them. He put a veil over his face because they couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle the truth. Whenever Moses went before the Elohim to speak with him, he would leave the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what had been commanded, the Israelites would see how radiant the skin of Moses' face was. Moses would then put the veil back over his face until he went to speak with him, Yah, again. They could look upon Moses. Even Moses had saw the back of Yah, and it radiated Moses. And when Moses come off that mountain, they couldn't even, they run off. Whoa, wait just a minute. Stop the prayer. And Moses had to call, hey, come on, that's me. Come on over here. And he told her what the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov said. And he said, well, look here, I can't be scaring these folk like this. So he said, he made a determination, I'm going to put a veil over my face so they can't see my face because it scared them. And every time he would go before the Most High after that, he would take the veil off his face and speak to the Most High. And then he would put the veil back on his face because the folk couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle the truth. What say you, Cartrell?
Yeah, so the Most High revealed himself to Moses. Moses didn't see Yah's face, but he saw his glory. And the fact that he saw his glory, it put like this glow on him that people couldn't understand. Matter of fact, they was afraid of it. Just imagine if he had seen Yah's face and came back.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But this chapter is beautiful in that the Most High tells us we have to go see him three times in a year when we get to the land, and we had to bring the best of the best of our land to the Most High. And we see how strong Moshe was to be able to go back up into that mountain another 40 days and another 40 nights without food or water or anything, you know, to nourish himself. How many of us could do that?
Exactly. Man,
40 days, 40 nights.
Hey, Cartrell.
40 days and 40 nights, that's 80 days.
Cartrell, let me be honest about that. Some of us couldn't go 40 minutes, okay?
There you go.
Okay? Not 40 days, not 44 hours. You know, it's not 40, like I said, 40 minutes. This man had a constant 87 years old, going up a mountain, two tablets of stone. Then he carved out, take him up the feet. The man had stamina. And then stand before the presence, even though not in front of him, But he saw the back of the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yah. And then he saw even that radiated off him. I'm like, no, Cartier, come on, let's keep it real. I don't think Yom Su could do 40 days. And Yom Su think he halfway do everything. I don't think Yom Su could do 40. Yom Su may make it a 4 day, but I could do 40. I'm keeping it real.
Not only did he have to do 80 days, the first 40, the Most High carved out the stones with his own hand and wrote what he had to write down on those stones. Moses brought those stones down off the mountain, and he broke them, right? Because the people was worshiping the golden calf. So the second time he had to go up, he had to carry the stones up in his hand. Not only did he have to carry the stones up in his hand, but he had to carve out this time what the Most High told him to write the first time. And then come back down with them.
Exactly.
Without eating or drinking.
And then had to inscribe this on these stones. Man, with a chisel, a cipher, stylus, a chisel. I don't know how he did it. That took a whole lot of work, brother. That took a whole lot of energy out there, bro. You didn't seem to lose anything.
Imagine doing that and not even getting a drink of water.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, whatever he was using, a stylus, a handmade chisel, whatever he was using, it took a lot out of that, brother, but it didn't seem to have no effect on it because the Most High was with it.
That's right. When the Most High is with you, nothing is impossible.
Exactly. Keep
so,
going.
So, the old man climbing Keep mountains going. With stones in his hand and carving this all out, not having food or water, that's a miraculous thing. And it shows you that when Yah is with you, nothing is impossible.
That's key point, Cartrell. Key point. All right. Well, thank you, Cartrell. Like I said, after tonight, I think we have about five more chapters. And then we're moving right along. And Cartrell is going to sooner or later finish up the Psalms, which we're looking to hear from tonight. We didn't get a chance tomorrow, so we was having a discussion with Brother Patrick from Toronto, Canada. But as soon as Cartrell gets done with the Psalms, he's going to move right along with me, and he's going to pick up on another book, probably Numbers, Deuteronomy, or whatever. And we're going to keep it going. We're going to tag team, keep it going. All right, Cartrell, my brother, thank you, my friend. And we're looking forward to the word of the Most High in the Psalms.
So I got to check in with Sister Abby, y'all.
Is okay, it? Yeah.
102 or 103.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me. Abby, y'all, I know you out there with your ears wide open. Where we at? Text me. She probably over there laughing. Them fools. She going to text
me. We want everybody to participate.
Exactly.
I want to make sure I'm on point. Not reading.
Put your work in, Abby.
You
know to be the text before he got started. For the word 100 come out of his mouth. There she goes. Thank you, Abby. We on 102.
Truth be told, you might have skipped a chapter or two tonight.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, I don't think we skipped a chapter or two. No.
Okay.
I think we're on point, Cotton. I'm not saying with surety, but I think we're on point. Because Abby, I would have already sent me a message by now, believe you me. But you're on 102. You're on 102, brother, chapter 102.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
chapter
102.
Yeah. Thank you. And then she's going to get snazzy with it, Cartrell. She's going to say 102. Then she goes, I said 102. She's going to get snazzy with it. All right. 102 it is. You got to get started. Yeah.
The 102nd Psalm.
Right.
So this is like a template for our people. A lot of our people don't know how to pray. And the more we read these Psalms, we'll get the gist of how we should approach y'all. So give thanks and praises to the writer of the 102nd Psalm. Hear my prayer, Yah. Let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I'm in distress. Turn your ear to me when I call. Answer me quickly. For my days vanish like smoke. My bones burn like glowing embers. My heart is blighted and withered like grass. I forget to eat my food. I'm in distress. I groan aloud. And I'm reduced to skin and bones. I am like a desert owl, like an owl among the ruins. I lie awake. I have become like a bird alone on the roof. All day long, my enemies taunt me. Those who rail against me use my name as a curse. For I eat ashes as my food and mingle my drink with tears because of your great wrath. For you have taken me up and thrown me aside. My days are like the evening shadow. I wither away like grass. For you, Yah, sit enthroned forever. Your renown endures throughout all generations. You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show favor to her. The appointed time has come, for her stones are dear to your servants. Her very dust moved them to pity. The nations will fear the name of Yah. All the kings of the earth will revere your glory, for Yah will rebuild. Yah will rebuild Zion and appear in his glory. He will respond to the prayer of the destitute. He will not despise their plea. Let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created may praise Yah. Down from his sanctuary on high, from heaven, he viewed the earth. Now, so where's his sanctuary?
In heaven.
I already tell you, it's already built, right? Okay.
Yep.
To hear the groan of the prisoners under universal white racist supremacists, right?
Yep.
So the name of Yah will be declared in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. Did he say his name will be declared in Zion and Jerusalem? He didn't say heaven?
No.
When the peoples and the kingdoms assemble to worship Elohim. So where are they going to worship to assemble to worship Elohim? In heaven or in Jerusalem?
Said in Jerusalem, brother.
That's right. So Christianity is leading people astray. Because they're telling folks we're going to heaven to dwell with God and the angels at the pearly gates. Oh, no, that's not what Yah is saying. Yah is saying his name is going to be declared in Zion and his praises in Jerusalem. When the people and the kingdoms assemble to worship Yah. Has that happened yet? I don't think so. So
no.
That's a future thing that's about to transpire, and it's all going to happen right here on Mother Earth. In the course of my life, he broke my strength. He cut short my days. So I said, do not take me away, my Elohim, in the midst of my days. Your years go on through all generations. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. No man could have created the heavens. No man could have created the earth. So why do you put so much emphasis on this man that died on the cross? I don't even have a clue. It says they will perish. Huh?
Me either, brother. I don't have a clue.
I don't have a clue. They can't even see the end of heaven, much less you can't even walk around the earth in your lifetime. Much less created. What man created the earth or the heavens? Come on, man. It had to be a higher power. They will perish, but you remain. That's right. Y'all could destroy his creation, man, the earth, and guess what? Y'all gonna still be there. Like clothing, you will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. The children of your servants will live in your presence. Their descendants will be established before you. So this is what we want for our children, to put them on the right path so that our children serve Yah and are able to live in his presence, in his creation, in the heavens and the earth, and the descendants will be established before Yah forever. That's the goal. That's the aim. That's the target we're shooting for. I don't know about anybody else, but I hope you're in line with that. Because if not, you about to be wiped out.
Truth be told, brother. Truth be told. Well, Thank you again, Contrail, my brother and friend.
Thank you, Yamsu. Ari, my brother and friend.
Hey, Contrail.
Yes, sir.
Do you have a closing remark before we get out of here?
It's time for meditation, time for self-searching. It's time to seek the Most High. It's time to get familiar with His modus operandi. It's time for us to get familiar with His plan, get in line with His plan, and don't just rely on Brother Yam Sufari and, you know, Brother Katriel to bring you all this knowledge, because it's there for you to study. And the more proficient our people are with this knowledge and wisdom, the better off we'll be as a people and a nation. Because this ain't about me and you and a few people that listen on the phone. This is about our people that scattered worldwide. So all this information we're dropping on people needs to be shared so that we could be lined up with the Most High. So my prayer is that we are, that the Most High will fill His word and bring us our heritage and bring healing to our hearts. Because we are a hard-headed and stiff-necked people, for sure.
Truth be told. Well, Contra, I want to thank you again, my brother. I want to thank you, too, fellow students, for tuning in with us tonight on this intensive study show. And we do on this show, I guess we do pay attention to detail. And I hope you picked up the pieces to the detail that Contra and I were sharing with you about maintaining a solid, constructive, and positive relationship with Yah, a relationship so close with you that He will hear you and give you counsel and give you safety and security. Maintain that relationship above all else. You don't need the Republicans. You don't need the Democrats. But you definitely need the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Truth be told. Well, Contrail, my brother and friend, we finna get ready to get out of here. Fellow students, we finna get ready to get out of here. I got to put that Southern slang on it. Get out of here. And may the Most High bless you. We love you. Stop leaning to your own understanding. Go into these studies with us, these intensive studies. Learn and apply. Learn and apply. Learn and apply in these study sessions, which will improve your lives much better than any Democratic in our Republican Party can do anything for you in this Western Hemisphere. We love you. The message is always for Cartrell and I, in the music of our words to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom.
got the real.